Thank you, music team, for your beautiful music. I don't even know some of those songs. I really like them. I haven't been familiar with them. And thank you all for being so patient to sit here all day. I hope you've been up and able to walk around enough that you've enjoyed the gardens as well as the fellowship and the interaction with each other. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are his everlasting arms. Love that. I lived in England, and they used to say bits and pieces all the time. Do we say that in the United States? Do we ever talk about bits and pieces? A little bit of this, a little bit of that. I can't remember. I never remember if it's, we have to learn proper British, wherever we live, so whether it was England or New Zealand or America. And sometimes the words are completely different. And I just think about when I had my second son in England, and I had to bring a list to the hospital, and I didn't know anything on the list. I knew the word, but I didn't know what it was. I didn't know that a flannel was a washcloth, and I didn't know nappies at that time were diapers. And I didn't know a vest was a t-shirt and a dressing gown was a robe. So all these words are different. Anyway, they would always say bits and pieces. I thought I would read you this little liturgy that I found one time. I hope it relates, not out of the Bible, but it related to me. And I know a lot of you have traveled. A lot of you have been missionaries, I'm finding out, or been involved in different things in the military. And so kind of scattered abroad. And if we're not scattered abroad, I think of the First Peter 1, where it says he greases as aliens scattered. So we'd be scattered in our brain as we want to be, because we're scattered aliens. So anyway, I like this and I hope you can relate to it. I do have a few copies if anybody would like to have one of them. It's called Liturgies of a Life Abroad. Pieces of me scattered on different continents, in different houses and neighborhoods, moments of my life, fragments of time tossed like sand into the wind, settling near and far, never found altogether in one place, but forever separated by time and location and space. Some people know me from the pieces of my past. Others know me from the piece I hold in my hand now, but few see the scope of all my scattered pieces. Sometimes I feel broken and wish my life would have happened in one place, in one piece. But I realized I was never meant to be a monument, but a mosaic. And all my pieces from all the places have not been scattered, but they've been gathered on journeys, in conversations, in greetings and goodbyes, through heartbreak, in leaps of faith across the globe. The many moves and transitions have not taken away. They have added pieces to my life. And the further my journey takes me, the wider the scope of variety and beauty in this mosaic being made and crafted by the hands of a master artist. So, when I feel like my life is in pieces, may I be reminded that every piece has a purpose and that I was not whole and now broken, but I'm being made whole by the grace of a redemptive God, a mosaic of his mercy, these pieces of me. Sweet, isn't it? So the pieces God knows of all the places. I want to go today to Psalm 77. If you have a Bible, you might want to look there. We're going to look at this psalm together. Interesting that God brought me to this one to share with you. Because it's kind of a hard psalm. In fact, let me just read the last verse, next to the last verse, verse 19, and then I'll slow down so you can find it. But Verse 19, and your way was in the sea, and your paths in the mighty waters, and your footprints may not be known. You know, if you're in the sea and you take steps in the sand, the waves wash over them right away and they're gone and you don't see them. But God's ways are in the sea. We don't see what he's doing. We're not sure. We sometimes could find out, sometimes we don't. But his way is in the sea, and finding his way and walking with him through these things is what I want to focus on in our last time together. This is really going to be your time with your table, but we'll do some things together. Just a little bit of background on this psalm. Spurgeon, who is a pastor in England, an old pastor, the 1800s, he said, this hymn before us is for experienced saints only, but to them it will be of value as a transcript of their own inner conflicts. So all you experienced saints will find out as we read this psalm together. I'm going to read it. It's 20 verses. My voice rises to God, and I will cry aloud. My voice rises to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. My soul refused to be comforted. When I remembered God, then I was disturbed. When I sigh, then my spirit grows faint. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. For I considered the days of old, the years of long ago. I will remember my song in the night. I will meditate with my heart, and my soul ponders. Will the Lord reject forever? And will he never be favorable again? Has his loving kindness ceased forever? Has his promise come to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Or has his anger withdrawn his compassion? Then I said, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on all your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is like your God, our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. You have by your power redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you, and they were in anguish. The deep also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth a sound. Your arrows flashed here and there. The sounds of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. Your earth trembled and shook. Your way was known in the sea, and your path in the mighty waters, and your footprints may not be known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. My friend Terry lost her son in a tragic way. And that happened to be my son's good friend. And it was so sad when we told him about what had happened and about the death of him. And I asked Terry later, I said, Terry, how did you get through that time? And she said, it was the character of God that carried me through. My friend Lindsay was excited to have her baby. And then after she had her baby, they found out there was something, I don't remember what it's called, you would know, Emily, but part of the skull was gone. But she was working with our organization in Disneyland and working with the international students. And there was someone that was really creative there and said, I think what I'd like to do is celebrate this child every day, every week of the year until this child's born, because she was going to carry this child knowing the child would die after birth. And every week, someone celebrated that child because she celebrated life. And someone named a star, they found a star and named it after her, and they celebrated the star that week. And she worked with the princesses that worked in De Disney. She had some in her discipleship group. They celebrated and did a shower for her in her little tummy. She had a little tutu on it, and they celebrated the birth of the baby. And then each week there was something. There was a plant. There was something, and they did it as groups. And the baby was born, and the community was getting involved, and a huge group that ended up at the hospital when that baby was born. And that baby lived for a few hours, and they had a birthday cake, and they all sang together, knowing the baby would not live. And they celebrated life. And then Lindsay got pregnant again. The doctor said everything would be fine, but the same thing, a little bit different, happened. And she knew she was going to carry that baby to term, and that was really difficult. How did we do that? And I remember talking with Lindsay about it, and she was showing me in her Bible how she had her little baby's footprints printed in her Bible on some verses that were really meaningful to her. And we talked about these verses that we're here about God's, about grief. I call them the grief questions. Lindsay ended up writing a book. It's an excellent book. It's called Buried Dreams. You can get it on Amazon. And she's ended up speaking in on television and a lot of places. And I was hoping I'd get a copy so I could give one to Emily, being a midwife. But it's really about hope. There is so much on hope. You would think it would be a really sad book, but it's a wonderful book that gives you great hope. And she's dear. I love her. It's been many years since that happened. And she's actually on a project working in a Muslim world. She ended up adopting a child, and then, of course, got pregnant again and has a little daughter. But it's a great book. And she talked too about how did she get through things. It was the character of God. It was the community that carried her through it, as they bound together of helping each other, of making it through this time. So these questions here, I want to just read them again. And I want to tell you this quote, though, of another quote of Spurgeon's on this from the Treasury of Psalms, if any of you have that. It says, "These questions are suggested by fear, but they are also a cure for fear. It is a blessed thing to have grace enough to look at these questions in the face, for their answer is self-evident and eminently fitted to cure the heart. Each of these questions is a darn dart aimed at the very heart of despair. But these are questions that are suggested by fear, but they are a cure for fear." How many people are really willing to look at these questions? They're hard questions to look at, particularly when you're in a hard spot in your life. We ask them in our deep soul when we're troubled with things. Will God reject forever? And will he be favorable again? Has his loving kindness ceased forever? Has his promise come to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Or has his anger withdrawn his compassion? Then I said, it is my grief. Interesting that that word is chol in Hebrew, and you can find it. It's not always used, but it can mean labor, like a woman in labor. Those are grief questions. But they're good to look at. And I remember what my friend Lindsay did. She took each one of these questions numbered them, A, B, C, D, or 1, 2, 3. I don't know exactly how she did it. She got a new Bible and she said, every time I see something in God's word that's talking about, will God reject forever? The opposite. Will he never leave us or forsake us? Things like that. She'd put one by it. Or whatever the question was, has his loving kindness never ceased? Anytime it talked about God's loving kindness, she put, number three or whatever the number that question was, next to it, so that she could see truth, because truth is what answers our despair and our sorrows and our grief. If we're willing, as Spurgeon says, to look at them, if we don't have the fear that we will go to the word and see what God really says on these things. And it's a helpful thing to do because we see the character of God, who he is, the greatness of who he is. Let me quote that again, 1 Chronicles 29. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth is yours. Yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and power come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now we give thanks to you, O God, and praise your glorious name. You remember in Philippians, it says that we may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. And through life, the things that we walk through, that is what we need to do, is walk with him, get to know him, and let him walk with us in the valley of the shadow of death and in the light and the good times. Remember back at the very beginning when we first talked in Exodus, where it said that he walked with them. Let me read it because I don't want to get it too wrong. Exodus 13. It says, the Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they may travel by day and by night. God wants us to travel in the dark times and the light times with him. And that's a precious thing, because a lot of people give up during those times. To walk with him in the hard times as well as the light times. And interesting in that section, if you might remember from this morning section, Joseph is the one that wanted him to, carry his bones out of Egypt. And he reminded them, surely God cares. Oftentimes those older people have to pass on to the next generation. One generation shall praise your works to another and declare your mighty acts. Carry the bones. Know that God surely cares for you, and he wants to carry you through the things he has for you. So what we're going to do this time is, this is your time. I don't think I anticipated so many people. This is my expectations, but there's more than there's six questions here and one statement, and so each table is going to get a question. And whether your question is, will the Lord reject forever? Will he be favorable about his loving kindness, about his promises? Has he forgotten to be gracious, or about his compassion, or that God, his character, maybe it's changed? I want you amongst yourself to look at the question and discuss, first of all, who's going to be the spokesperson at your table that gets to share some things? And secondly, I want you to think either verses that might come to mind, maybe a story you want to tell that you would want to tell publicly. We don't, if you don't want to tell it, you don't need to at all. But the ones that maybe want to share something that they thought God had changed and God revealed to himself he didn't, or God showed his loving kindness, or finding verses. And I want you to spend a little time doing that. But I want you to notice, if you still have your Bible opened in Psalm 77, that it's kind of interesting because before all those questions and after all these questions, it has the same thing. It says, before it has the words, remember, consider, remember, meditate, and ponder. After all those questions, it says, remember and remember again, meditate and muse. So God's desire is for us to really ponder these things. Mary, you remember, took these things to heart when she was told that she was going to have a baby. You know, it says she took it to heart, and we want to take to heart the words of God. And so as you spend some time together, think through some verses that God brings to your mind, and maybe some ways that he's shown you how he's been gracious to you and that you would like to share. But we'll do that briefly. And so that'll close our time out